Okay, guys, we've been talking about beach party. We've been talking about what it is. Who loves the beach? Where's my, like, absolutely love the beach? My wife, I think if I don't hear it once a week, it would surprise me. I hear, a bunch of people are at the beach. I want to be there so bad. And so she loves the beach. I'm not going to lie. I do like the beach, but it's all dirty and gross. But anyway, but I do love the beach. So we're going to kind of follow that theme. I want you guys to kind of stick with me a little bit. We're going to go somewhere, I promise, but right now, we're going to start out. All right. For all you parents out there who's ever been to the beach, who's been to the beach? Let me see your hand. Where's my beach people? All right, cool. So everybody who's been to the beach, you guys know that when you go to the beach, what do you grab? You grab your beach tote, right? Now, this is the biggest one that I could find. I know my wife's got bigger ones. Natalie, where are you at? Where's Natalie? Natalie's in the back. Okay, if you guys ever need anything, like anything in the world, just ask Natalie because her purse is like... like, it's amazing. It's like, have you guys ever seen that show where, like, people start pulling stuff out and they can pull out, like, a 10-foot board out of her purse? That's her. Like, she's got selfie sticks and little fans you plug into your, oh, she's in the back. She usually sits back there. Little fans you can plug into your phone to fan you off. Like, Caleb was back there one day and he's like, man, I'm kind of hot. And she's like, I got something. She, like, reaches out and gives him a fan. I'm like, what is this Go-Go Gadget purse? But anyway, so I told her I was going to use her as an example today. All right, so here we go. We're going to go to the beach. So what do we get? The first thing we need is what? We need a beach chair, right? Okay, this is not a beach chair, but go with it. We need our beach chair, right? So we got our beach chair right here. Another thing we need, of course, we're at the beach. We got the sun. We need stuff for the kids, right? So we need pool noodles. We got our sunshade here. I only have half of it. I should have put... okay, pretend like that works. We got our sunshade here. What else is in our bag? We got the floaties for the kids, okay, right? Because not all kids can swim like crazy. We got a, where's my bald people at? Bald people, like me? Come on, where you at? Yeah, what's the most important thing? Hat, okay? So you got your hat, right? You got all this. What, another thing that's important. Where's my people who you just look at the sun and get sunburnt? There it is. What's important at the beach? Yeah, sunscreen. Very, very important. Let's go through here. Me and my family actually went to the pool yesterday, and I just stole this bag, so who knows what's in here. We got goggles. I love goggles. What else is in here? Hey, you know what? One of the most important things you can go to the beach with is, come on, where you at? Snacks. I'm just saying, that's probably, okay, so here's the deal. I got a Star Crunch right here. Who loves Star Crunches? Here you go. Bam, Star Crunch coming at you. I got a Cosmic Brownie. Where's my Cosmic Brownie people? Right here. Cosmic Brownie. There it is. Eat it up. You're welcome. You didn't know you're going to come to church and get fed, did you? Well, physically fed. So we got all this stuff, and all this stuff is great. All this stuff is very, very, very important, right? Would you not say? Especially if you have kids. Very, very, very important. But I missed one thing. And to me, it's probably the most important thing you could ever, ever take at the beach. You know what? I'm just going to have a seat for this one. It says right here. Somebody said it. What is this? Water, right? Is this not one, probably the most important thing you could probably take to the beach? Because at the beach, it's hot. You got hot sand. You're running around. You're playing like crazy. This right here is probably the most important thing in the world. If you were not to bring water to the beach, I guarantee you after about an hour, you would probably sell one of your children for just a cup, just an 8-ounce bottle of water, because this right here is the most important thing. But here's what's weird about the beach and water. At the beach, you have sand, and what else do you have? Water. And isn't it weird that the one thing that's most important to you, you are absolutely surrounded by? But can you drink that water? I mean, you can. No, you absolutely can, and we're actually going to talk about that a little bit. But should you drink that water? No, let me go through something that I found that was really, really cool. Of course, we know that scientifically speaking, you know, you can only live probably 3-ish days without water, right? Your body begins to shut down after that. Something else I read, which was really, really cool, is it's this. It says, this was by the, I think it was like the National Ocean Survey or whatever. It says, we all know the water is full of salt, and that's why we can't drink it. I read this and it was very interesting. It says, according to the National Ocean Services, human kidneys can only flush liquids that is less salty than the salt water. Therefore, to get rid of the excess salt taken in by drinking salt water, your kidneys have to flush more water out than you drank. Eventually, you will die of dehydration even as you become thirstier. Now, think about that for a second. I want you to kind of channel that away for just a moment. But eventually, you will die of dehydration even as you become thirstier and thirstier. And that's what's so amazing. The ironic thing is the one thing you need most in this world, you're surrounded by it, but if you drink it, it's poison to you. And so what happened is, where I'm kind of going with this is, as Pastor Chuck communicated to me about speaking on this Sunday, and we were talking about beach and all that kind of stuff, I was like, okay, so the wheels started turning a little bit about beach stuff, and maybe, you know, my family, we've been to the beach, and what can I draw from that? And so I actually went to camp this year, took the students down to Youth America, and the theme of Youth America summer camp was actually called Carry the Water. And so I thought, man, that's really cool. And so as he began to speak, he actually brought up the scripture. We're actually going to read it. But after we read it, I'll explain. I'm going to kind of go in a different direction, because basically what he was saying was that we carry the water to the dry and thirsty places, right? Which we do. We've probably heard that sermon at some point in our life. But as he began to speak, my will started turning, and God began to speak to my heart that we do carry the water. We do carry the water everywhere we go, right? We carry the water of God. We carry but the thing is we have the choice of what water we carry, because we can carry good water, but we can also carry water that's harmful. We can carry water that brings life, but we can also carry water that brings death. And so I begin to really think about this. And so jump with me in John chapter 4, verse 5 through 14. It says this: eventually he, and of course we're talking about Jesus, eventually he came to a Samaritan village of, and I'm horrible at names, so we'll call it Sand Springs, near the field that Jacob had and his sons Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noon times. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at this time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. Verse 9 says this: the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. But she said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Verse 10, Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift of God, the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." Everybody say living water. "But sir, you do not have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than the ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh," everybody say fresh. Everybody say it one more time, fresh. "It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." Let's pray. God, once again, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is a light to our feet, God. It lights up the path. Sometimes in life, we don't know what to do, where to go, or how to go. But God, we know we can turn to your word, and your word of God will direct us, guide us on what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say. It always gives us the answer if we will dig in. And God, if we will also connect with your Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit reveal things to us. God, I pray once again that these words are not my words, but they are your words, that God, that I could be as bold and convey as clearly as possible the word that you've put into my heart. God, I thank you. God, I praise you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, we just read a story about water, and Jesus talks about, hey, the water I've got is living water. It's going to be water that is fresh. It's going to be water that bubbles up inside of you and gives you eternal life. And so I read that, and the speaker talked about that, but then three things begin to come to my mind. Okay, if we carry the water, if we are the ones that carry the water, carry, you know, the water into the dry and thirsty places, we are the ones who do that, then that also says this, that we have the opportunity or the choice to carry to on what water that we carry. And so I came up with three different waters, types of water that we can carry on a day-to-day basis. And number one is this, it's bitter water. We can carry bitter water. Number two, we can carry salt water. And number three, we can carry the living water, all right? So today's question, something I want you to keep in your mind as we're going through this, is this: what kind of water am I carrying? Are you carrying bitter water? Are you carrying salt water? Or are you carrying fresh, living water? Let's talk about it. Number one is this, bitter water. Bitter water is the people who have been hurt and haven't accepted all of God's forgiveness. Now, do you understand that bitterness is one of those things, man, that can absolutely eat you from the inside? Bitterness is one of those things that if we don't let it go, it will consume you very, very, very swiftly. And so what I found out in my life is that bitter people have not yet accepted the fact that Jesus Christ paid for their sins fully. See, they think that they paid for some of their sins, and they think that God, you know, Jesus paid for, you know, most of their sins, but man, I did this and it was real bad, and I don't think I could be forgiven of that. Or maybe, you know, they think, oh man, you know, God is good and he's great, but you know what? I've done this and I don't believe he can forgive me of that. And so what we do is we begin to get bitter because we think, okay, well, if this God that I hear about is such a loving God and he's by the fire with me, and yes, there's stories of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who was in the fire and walked out, couldn't even smell the smoke on them. They weren't even affected by anything, but yet God doesn't seem to do that for me. They begin to get kind of bitter. They begin to get kind of hard in life. And so what happens is if we leave this unchecked, this begins to skew our testimony about God and about who Jesus is. So instead of our testimony being something like, hey, you know what? Man, this God that I serve is a loving God who loves you no matter what. Their testimony begins to do something like this. Man, yeah. So I know this guy, this God, and he does well. And so he makes me feel good sometimes. But I'll be honest with you, man. Sometimes I get mad, I get upset, and I don't know what to do. And I just don't feel like he's there for me. And so their testimony begins to kind of go down as they talk. Or you begin to talk to people who are bitter about something. Maybe it's the church. You know, some people get hurt by one pastor and they think that every pastor is going to hurt them. You know, some people get, you know, kind of burnt by one pastor if they you know, gave their money into one church and that church ended up embezzling and doing bad things. Well, what do people do? They tend to hold that and say, okay, well, you know what? All churches are like that, right? I mean, we probably know of people who are like that. And that's what bitter people do. Bitter people do this. When you take a drink of them, they make you do this. Oh, right? So when you take something that's sour or bitter, do you just chug it down and go, that's good, I like that? No, most of us are going to be like, oh, and you put that water down and you kind of walk away and you're like, something's wrong with that water, right? And so once, that's what bitter people do. If you see them in the world, they begin to kind of leave you with a bad taste in your mouth. They're the ones that say, man, if that's the God that they serve, I don't know that I want any part of that God. And so they tend to drive people away from Christ instead of pulling people in. So what we're going to do is I'm going to set out three things of water here. And so this red water right here, this is going to represent bitterness. All right. So this is one of the types of water that we can carry. It's the water of bitterness. Another thing, you guys, I think I've shared this story before. I was in a fast food restaurant, and I was in the drive-thru, and this lady, you could just tell, was not having it that day, right? So I pull up to the window, and like, I'm like, hey, what's up? And she just is like just literally just $5.95. And I'm like, all right. So I give her my card, and she takes my card, you know, not like a hey, thanks or nothing. She's just like, and I'm just like, bro. Well, then I looked at her, and I got to looking, and right here on her shirt is a little pin that says, I love Jesus. And I thought to myself, you might want to tell your face that, because you don't look like you love anything, anybody at any time. Like, literally, she just. And I'm like, so that's what bitter people do to people. They say, I love Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, we've all probably seen those people. Man, I want to slap them and say, listen, if you love them, then act like it. You know, if I looked at my wife and said, babe, I love you. Like, come on. Well, guys, what's going to happen? If I was always mean and hateful and rude, you know, she'd be like, hey, I hear your words, but I want to feel that love. So that's what bitter people do. That's how they act. Number two is this. We got salt water. You can carry some salt water. I talked about this a little bit before. These are the people like the Pharisees. They look good on the outside, but on the inside, they're poison. Let's just be honest. They're poison. Oh, you know what? I didn't even read my scriptures for bitter water. Back up real quick, because you know what? I know Angela worked hard on this. So real quick on bitter people. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. It says this. Look after each other so that none of you fall to receive the grace of God, Watch out, the grace of God. Watch out that no one No one poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. So let me read that again because now I can read. It says, look after one another so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. What happens when a root of bitterness grows up? What happens? The Bible says this. It corrupts what? What? Many. Does it say it just corrupts you? No. It says it corrupts many, and that's what bitterness does. It rubs off and it corrupts many people. 1 John 1:9 says this, but if we will confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from, key word right there, what does it say? All unrighteousness. One more time, what does it say? All unrighteousness, not most, not the bad ones, not the good ones, not the real bad ones, not the little ones, not the little white lies. It says it cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Number two, salt water. These are the people like the Pharisees. They look good on the outside, but on the inside, it poisons you. Let's go back to the beach real quick. We're sitting on the beach. We're looking out. We're getting real thirsty. So we think to ourselves, forgot my water. But you know what? I can just jump out there and get me a drink. So you come by on the water and you get you a drink. And you know what? It's going to taste bad. It tastes salty. But let's be honest. The moment you take that drink, it kind of quenches that thirst, doesn't it? It does actually kind of quench that thirst a little bit. And you might think, okay, I'm doing well. So you go on back about your business. So you keep playing at the beach and you keep doing what you're doing. And you get thirsty again. So you think to yourself, I'm going to jump back on that beach. So you go back in that water. You get you another sip and you're thinking, man, this really does taste good. It does quench my thirst for the moment. But what are you doing to yourself? You're literally poisoning yourself little by little by little. And this is exactly what the Pharisees did. And this is what people who carry the bitter water do. They look good on the outside. They look like they have everything together. They got their hair just right, if you have hair. They got their hair just right. They got their shirt just right. They got their pants just right. They got the name brand. Man, they look good. They even sound good. They even use words like glory to God. And they use words like I'm blessed. And they use words, right? They use all those words. But yet inwardly, it's not like that. Inwardly, they are not put together. Inwardly, they have not quite sacrificed their heart to God and said, God, I'm going to give you my everything. What they've said was, I'm going to look good on the outside, and that's going to be good enough. And that's what the salt water does. Let's go back and let's look in Matthew chapter 23, verse 1 through 7. This is Jesus talking about the Pharisees in that day. And tell me if this doesn't sound like some people we've probably met or encountered or exactly like salt water. It says this, Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the religious laws and the Pharisees are official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but, everybody say but. But don't follow their example, for they do not practice what they teach. They crush people underneath them with religious demands and never lift a finger to ease their burdens. Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes and scripture verses inside. They wear robes with extra long tassels, and they love to sit at the head of the table at the banquet and in the seats of honor in the synagogues. They love to receive respectful greeting as they walk into the marketplace. They love to be called Rabbi. This is Jesus talking about them, and he said this. Listen to what they're saying. What they're saying is good, but they're not practicing what they're preaching. And so what happens is if we get out there and we start carrying the salt water, we'll say things like, oh man, I'm blessed and highly favored. And we'll say things like, oh man, I love God, and we'll dress right and we'll look right. But what we tend to do is we tend to start taking what we think is right or wrong and putting it on somebody else. So we start saying things like this. Well, if you don't shave your head with a number two guard, I don't know if you're saved or not. I'm just saying, some of y'all ain't saved. You know, we start saying things like this. Well, if you don't carry an Apple product, Dave Smith, you probably aren't saved. You know, right? Because I love Apple. And if I love it, then it's right because God loves Apple. You know, we start saying things like this. So we start putting what we think is right on other people. And what's happening is we're actually poisoning them because they can never live up to that. The Pharisees were putting on the people these just crazy things that they had to do because they were like, hey, the Bible is about works and your salvation is about works. And if you work and you look good, then God's going to accept you. There's actually a story in the Bible where it talks about a Pharisee standing up in the middle of the synagogue and praying, and he beats his chest and he says, oh God, thank you. You know, he's this grand stage, and he says, oh God, thank you that I'm so awesome.
awesome, and I'm not like everybody else, is basically what he said. And there was this lonely tax collector, a horrible sinner, and it says he was over in the corner, just bowed, head bowed, and he just said, God, I'm filthy. God, I need some help. Can you help me? And the Bible says that God actually heard the prayer of the tax collector and was upset and displeased with the Pharisee because he was putting on a show. And so a lot of us, we tend to carry the salt water. We tend to carry what's good. We're trying to do good, but yet instead of going to the Word of God, we tend to go to the Word of Chris. And we say, well, this is what I think. I think you should do this or not do this. I think you should go here or not go here. I think you should wear this or not wear this. I think you should look like this perfect Christian, and that's what's going to get you into heaven. I don't know about you, but I don't read that anywhere in the Bible. I don't. And so that's what happens when we begin to carry the salt water. We actually begin to look good. We taste good. We quench that thirst for a moment. But in the end, we're actually killing not only ourselves, but we're killing the people around us. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to get me another bottle of water here. Probably should have set this up a little better. My bad. So we're going to, okay, this is actually blue, but I put way too much food coloring in it. It looks black. So we're going to call that, that's our salt water right there, right? So we've got our, what is this water? Bitterness. What is this water? Salt water. Here we go. All right, let's move on to number three, probably the one I love the most, and it's this right here. Nice, clean, fresh water. This right here is the living water. This is the water that is good, that is great, the water that brings refreshment, the water that brings, you know, that spring of bubbliness inside of us, that water that when we carry this water and we begin to pour out this water onto other people, this is the water that draws people to Christ. This is the water that makes people feel better. This is the water that adds value to people. Living water, these are the people who give life wherever they go. They add value to the people around them. Let me tell you somebody, let me give you an example of somebody who I believe carries the freshest water out there, and that's Miss Kreiner. You guys know Miss Kreiner? And I can't remember her first name because she's just Miss Kreiner to me. Renee, thank you, Miss Renee Kreiner. I love that woman. If you've been around her for 1 second, she will make you feel like you are the king of the world. Who's ever experienced that before? Let me see your hand. Yeah, like she is awesome. Like, and she's one of those people that, like, when you're talking to her and she asks you, so Chris, how's your day? Like she wants to know. Like, it's not just a question. Like, some of us are like, hey, how you doing? Okay, good, thanks. You know, like, we don't even give people to. No, she actually wants to know. Like, I went up to the school one time and I was talking with her, and like she asked me that. She's like, so Chris, how's your day? And I was like, oh, it's fine. And she was like, no, you're not hearing me. Like, I want to know, how's your day? And I was like, fine? Should it not be fine? I don't know. Do you know something I don't know? Like she was literally like invested in me. Like she was like, I want to know, like, tell me. She always asked me questions like this. Every time I've ever been around her and I'm about to leave her, she'll say something like this. Hey, Chris, listen, what can I do for you? Hey, how can I help you? Man, where can I be for you? What does it look like for me to help you out? Like every single time, like you see her and it doesn't matter what she's going through, man, she got a smile on her face. She's looking at you. She's greeting you. She's saying, man, I appreciate you. You're awesome. She always says, this is my friend. Has anybody ever been introduced? And she says, hey, this is my friend, Chris. Like there'd be students in there and she'd say, hey, come here. I want you to, man, I love this guy. This is my friend, Chris. Just made me feel like I was like, I am important. I am special. Like that's what she did. That's what she does for people. She is full of this living water. And you know how she gets full of that living water? She is deep in the Word of God. She is deep in prayer. I guarantee it. I don't know if you guys know this, and I'll be honest, she might get upset for me with sharing this, but she's been dealing a lot with her mom. Her mom is a bad situation. And so she's really, really, really been dealing with this a lot. But you know what's weird? You would never, ever know it. You wouldn't. Because you know what? She has peace. She knows that God is standing in the fire with her. She knows, and she has confidence in knowing that God will be there through the thick and the thin. And that's why she can come in here and she doesn't put on a fake smile. Because it's easy to put on a fake smile, right? I've done it. You've done it. We've all done it. She puts on a real, genuine smile of joy. You know why? Because she's got joy inside of her. She's carrying that living water that bubbles inside of her that is so fresh that she's wanting to give it away because she wants people to feel better about themselves. So three types of water. We got water of bitterness. We got our salt water. And we got our living water. understand that we are in charge of which one we carry. We are in charge of what we dish out. We are in charge. If I was to take this and somebody would say, man, I'm real thirsty in here. And I say, okay, cool, man. I got you some water. Here you go. And I throw it to you. You'd be like, especially if you know what this is now, you'd be like, I'm good. But here's the ironic part of this. And I'm going to need a volunteer. Okay, I'm going to need it. All right, hey, Satrina shot her hand up. Satrina, come up here. I need a volunteer. Everybody give it up for Satrina. She comes up. All right, so Satrina, I want you to stand. Stand right about here. Exactly right here. Can't go anywhere else. Turn around. Face them. All right, Satrina's not going to look. Now, I said before, we have a choice, right? Satrina, people are telling on you. So here's the kicker through this whole thing. Now we have a choice, right? We have a choice on what water we carry, right? We have a choice. We can carry salt water, we can carry bitter water, or we can carry the living water. So here's what I'm going to ask Satrina. Satrina, I have three waters back here, okay? And I'm going to let you choose one to drink. Okay, so remember, we've got salt, which is it's still going to taste bad, but it'll do you for a little while, but eventually it's going to kill you. We've got, basically, you're drinking poison. We've got bitter water that you're going to take a swig of it, and it's really going to taste disgusting, and you're probably never going to touch it again. But then we have one that is going to be nice, cool, crisp. It's going to make you go, ah. Right? So everybody go, ah. Right? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn around, and I want you to choose one of those waters. So hang on a second, because what she did is she looked and she goes, oh. So let me ask you this, Satrina. So we have three waters up here, right? And so you don't know what order I put them in. You don't know what's what and how. You don't know, nothing's marked, nothing's colored. One of them was red, one of them was blue, one of them was white. So we have no idea, right? I don't know what's going on. So if I was to tell you, Satrina, if you choose the wrong bottle, it's going to literally kill you right now. Would you walk up here and grab one, or would you say, I'm gonna do a hard pass on that one? So why is that? Because you don't know which is which, right? Because technically this looks like living water, but this looks like living water, but this looks like living water. So what's the point of this? The point is this. Unfortunately, the water that you carry, not everybody can see. You don't walk around with a sign that says, hey, I carry salt water. Don't drink from me. You don't walk around with a sign and say, hey, I carry, you know, bitter water. It's going to taste nasty. You don't walk around with a sign that says, I carry living water, right? But if I was to, again, if I was to maybe show her these two and say, okay, Satrina, now here's these. Now I want you to choose. Which one would you, right? You would have, of course, you would choose this one. But that's because now you know what's going on. You know you can see which is good and which is bad. But unfortunately in life, that's not the situation. Give it up for Satrina real quick. That's good water. Unfortunately in life, people can't always tell exactly what you're carrying. Now here's what happens in time though. Time will reveal what you're carrying. So the more and more that you pour out, the more and more people around you begin to say, ooh, that's a little bitter. I think I'm gonna stay away from that. And the more and more that you pull out, the more and more people are going to realize, man, it tastes okay. Like, I hear what you're saying, but just something's not meshing very well. Something's not lining up with the Word of God. Something's just not there. And then some of you, like Ms. Kreiner, you guys are going to be that fresh water that, man, eventually people are going to say, man, I want that. And not only do they want that, but they start asking questions like, man, where did you get such good, clean, fresh water? You begin to talk to people about Jesus. You begin to share Jesus. You begin to say, man, there's this man named God who loves you and cares for you and wants nothing but the best of you. And you begin to pour out this living water, and the people around you, man, they just begin to eat it up. They begin to go out, and not only do they eat it up and drink it up, but they begin to go out and tell other people. Our story in the Bible and I should have written it down and I didn't, but our story in John 4 goes on to say that after Jesus encountered this woman at the well and he said, listen, the water I've got is fresh water. It's water that's going to spring up. It's going to bubble up inside of you, and it's going to give you eternal life. Man, she began to go out. Once she received that water, she began to go out, and what does she do? She shared. She went out and told the entire village, hey, you guys got to come see this guy named Jesus. Dude, there's something about him. He was telling me stuff that was crazy, but there's something good about him. And so people in the town begin to flock. And I wish I wrote that down, because I love what the NLT says. It says that people were running to see Jesus. And that's what your life could do depending on what water you're carrying. You know, there's other types of water, and I'm not saying you have to be one of those three. I'm just saying those are the three that I think a lot of us get trapped in. Sometimes we things happen in life, right? Say, who would be bold enough to raise their hand with me and say this? You know what? My life just seems to be a little bit harder sometimes than most. I'm going to raise my hand. Okay, awesome. Thank you for being honest. You know, I've had a conversation with my wife over and over again where I said, babe, for some reason, it seems like other people, it comes easy. But for us, man, we got to work for it. And you know, I struggled with that and I was upset about that for a long time. But I realized that the more and more I work and the more and more I struggle, the more and more I grow. The more and more that if I keep God in my forefront, if I keep God in front of me, if I keep God in my life, the more and more that God teaches me, the more and more that God blesses me, the more and more we learn together, we grow together, the more and more we come together. So a hard life isn't always a bad life. It's just a different life. But sometimes we get trapped in saying, well, if God's so great, man, this person was blessed with this and that, and man, I haven't got this, and this person, man, their parents got healed and mine didn't, and this person did this. And so we start getting bitter, right? And we start saying, man, God, he used to be great, but I don't know if he is anymore. So then our testimony begins to go something like this. God used to be great. There was a time in my life where God was great, but man, it's just not now. And I just don't know where God is. And so what that tends to do is it tends to put that seed of doubt in people going, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Or this salt water, man, we're out there and we're telling people, hey, bless God. You know, church was great on Sunday, but yet we're not living like it. We're telling people, man, I'll tell you what, I'm blessed and highly favored, but we're not living like it. We're dressing right, we're acting right, but yet there's something inside of us that's just poisonous. And it's just getting into other people. And people are seeing that and saying, some of it's true, but some of it, it's just not lining up. But man, I think every single one of us want to be like Jesus, where when we see people, man, we say, listen, I know a man named Jesus. He loves you. He died for you, and he wants nothing but the best for you. And I want to add value to your life. I want to add to this fresh water. I want to tell you about this fresh water that springs up, and they begin to draw people to them. To not them, but to Jesus. And so the question again today is this. What water are you carrying? What water are you carrying? What's so awesome about God is that no matter what water you are carrying, and what I was going to do is do this like really cool experiment where you dump all the bad waters in and it turns white and it's really cool and everybody goes, woo, but I couldn't figure it out. So what I'm going to do is say this. What you can do this morning, because I said before I started, what did I say? I said we all have a what? We have a choice. You have a choice of what water you carry. So you can take this salt water. And you know what you can do with it? You can begin to give it to God. And God begins to take this salt water. Man, he begins to sift it out. He begins to work on your heart. He begins to show you the things on the inside where you're like, man, I thought this, but you know, the Word of God says this. And he begins to give you a hunger for the Word. And you begin to dig into the Word. And you begin to pray. And you really begin to dig into God. And God begins to take this salt. And he begins to take it and make it perfect again. You know what else he does? He takes this bitterness and he takes this hurt and he takes this and he says, you know what? I know you've been hurt. And you know what? I know that your life has been hard and I know your life has been difficult, but here's the situation. If you'll just place your faith and your trust in me, if you'll follow me with your whole heart, if you will literally just begin to say, God, I don't see you. I don't even necessarily feel you right now, but you know what? I know that you're here. I know that you're here because I've heard testimonies of people how you've done it for them and you've done it for them and you've done it for them. I could probably go through this whole place and give you the microphone. You could. I bet every person in this whole church could share at least one thing that God's done for you. And that would begin to build faith inside you where you say, you know what? Your life was hard, but now through God, all things are possible. And so now what's happening to our water? Our water is no longer any of this. Our water is just like Jesus. Our water is fresh, clean. Man, it's living water that is going to boil up inside of not only you, but the people around you. Guys, I'll be honest with you. This is going to sound really stupid, but I can't stand water. I don't like water. I don't. It's ironic, I know. But I'll tell you what, when I do love water, I love water when I am so hot that I'm about to die and that water is just like borderline frozen. Like it's so crystal, and you just take that first sip and you're just like, ooh, gee, baby Jesus, that's good, you know? And so that's when I cannot get enough water. I go out and play golf a lot, and man, I'll go to the coolers they have on the course, and I'll be sweating, and I get that drink, and I'm just like, I can't get enough, right? And so I just keep drinking, and I keep filling up, and then eventually I get so waterlogged, and I'm like, oh. But anyway, but I just keep drinking, and that's when I love water. The thing is this, guys, we are surrounded by people who are dry, who are thirsty. We are surrounded by people who are looking for water. They're looking for fresh water. They are so hot. They are sweating so much, they stop sweating. Who's ever sweated that much before? You've actually stopped sweating. I have. They are so thirsty for water. And you have the opportunity to present them with this fresh, borderline 32 degree perfect temperature water where you say, you know what? There's a guy named Jesus who wants nothing but the best for your life. You have that opportunity, but unfortunately, sometimes we pull out a little bit of this and we say, well, let me tell you about how Jesus has been treating me. Or maybe sometimes we pull this out and we say, well, no, what you need to do first is you need to stop saying this, doing this. What you need to do first is you need to clean up first, and then God's going to clean you up. But yet God's saying, no. I got fresh water, cold water. Water of love, a water of peace, a water of thanksgiving, a water of just joy that I want to give to you. What are we going to carry? What water are we carrying today? Are we carrying fresh, clean water? Or are we carrying water that maybe needs a little work? This morning, I was kind of torn. I was torn between, you know, I wasn't going to do an altar call. I wasn't going to do anything like that. I was just going to kind of challenge you guys to, you know, use this week to kind of to filter the water that you have through God and see what comes out at the end. You know, kind of filter that through the Word of God, filter that through through prayer and through the Word of God. But this morning I woke up just with a heaviness kind of on my heart. Like I think there's some people here this morning that don't need to go home and do it, but they need to get it right now. They need to right now, in this moment, in this hour, say, you know what, I realize now that I'm not carrying fresh water. I thought I was, but I'm carrying some salt water. I'm carrying some bitter water, and I want to get it back clean. So what I want to do this morning, and I didn't even tell the prayer team, and I apologize for that, guys, but if I could have the prayer team come forward, if you don't mind, and stand up here. Miss Angela, could you cut those lights to the worship lights, if you don't mind? Thank you very much. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to give anybody in this place an opportunity for one or two things. Number one, first and foremost, maybe you're here this morning and you say this, man, I'll be honest, Chris, you've been talking about Jesus, you've been talking about God, and I'll be completely honest with you, I don't know that I've ever even really heard much about him, or you talked about surrendering your life, you talked about how much he did for me on the cross and how much he loves me, but yet I've never really experienced that love and that grace and that mercy before, and I'd like to tonight. That's going to be step one of cleaning up your water. So if you're here this morning and you say, man, I need to know this Jesus, I'm going to ask you to come forward here in a minute. If you're here this morning and you say, man, Pastor Chris, I realize now that my bitterness doesn't only affect me, my unforgiveness doesn't only affect me, but man, it's going to begin to kill the people around me. It's going to begin to influence the people around me. It's going to be pushing people away from God instead of pulling people closer to God. I want you to come forward and get prayer for that. If you say, man, I realize now that I'm kind of like the Pharisees. I'm that salt water. I'm quenching people's thirst, but honestly, as I'm quenching their thirst, I'm poisoning them so much so that they're going to eventually die being thirsty. I could have saved their life, but instead I was giving them false doctrine. I was giving them false things that doesn't line up with the Word of God, but I thought it would be right, so I told them that. And I realize now I'm killing people. Man, come forward. Get prayer for that. And then for you saints out there who say, you know what? I got the living water inside of me. Man, good. Then what I want you to do is if people come forward, I want you to come up behind them and gather behind them and pray with them. Because you know what? It makes you feel better when you're not alone, right? When you're not alone, man, it makes you feel like you can do it. It makes you feel like you will do it. It makes you feel like I got somebody that's got my back, and it makes you feel better. And then if you just need prayer this morning, man, if you're just going through something this morning, maybe, man, your life has been tough, it's been rough, it's been hard, and you're like, man, I need God. I've heard stories about how good God is and how God can do things for me, and I need that in my life. Come forward and just say, man, I just need to know that God is real in my life. Man, this prayer team right here would love to pray for you. I don't believe that's just one person in here. I think there's probably more. If we'll humble ourselves and say, you know what? I need some help this morning. So if we could, let's all stand to our feet. Let's bow our heads. Let's begin to close our eyes. Begin to pray. Begin to pray for you guys who are like, man, I got some living water. Begin to pray, God, let that living water just continue to bubble up inside of me. Continue to draw people to Christ. Begin to pray if you're in here, man, you're gonna feel like you wanna come forward, but man, there's gonna be something inside of you kind of holding you back. Man, that's not Jesus. That's you. That's you just being scared. You know, push past that fear, man. Push past all that, because up here is where help is. You're not doing anything all of us haven't done before. We've all came to an altar of grace, an altar of mercy, an altar of forgiveness. We've all done that. You're not doing anything that I haven't done this week. Preparing for this message, I realized that my fresh water wasn't quite as fresh as I thought it was. So I've had to come to an altar of repentance. So this morning, as we sing, as we worship, come forward. If you don't come forward, man, stand here, worship, and thank God, and then just pray, God, bring people to me so that I can share this fresh water. I want to pray for you. God, I know there's people in this place that need you. They need your help. They need your guidance. They need your Holy Spirit. But God, they realize now that they don't only just impact themselves, but they're impacting people around them. They're impacting people at their home, at their work. They're impacting people in their neighborhoods. They're impacting people everywhere they go. And so what kind of water are we spilling around? Are we spilling out good, fresh, clean water that brings people to Christ? Or are we spilling out bitter water that's driving people away from Christ? Are we trying to be better than the Bible and say, well, I think this is what you should do and this is how you should act, but it doesn't quite line up with the Word of God? Are we being that salt water that's actually poisoning people to the fact that they're still thirsty and they still need a drink, and we think that we're feeding them, but we're really not, because we're not feeding them the Word of God? God, I'm praying that if they're here today, that they won't leave here like they came. God, it says in your Word that you can leave changed. And it's going to be in Jesus' name. God, I pray if there's one person here that doesn't know you, that they'll come forward and get to know who it is, who this Jesus is, who this God is. They'll get to know what true, genuine, real love feels like. God, I thank you. God, I praise you. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer, come forward. If you're not, listen, throw your hands up, sing this song, and just worship. Worship before we go. Fill your water back up before you go out and begin to dispense it out. Because if I empty this water out, I'm going to have to refill it, right? Or I'm going to thirst to death. So begin to take this time, refill your water, so you can go out and do something awesome for God.